Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for grace. Thank you for grace, Lord. Would you amaze us again this morning with your amazing grace? Grace that is greater than all our sin. Father, in those moments when we are tempted to be undone and overwhelmed by our sin, feeling if somehow that's the whole story of our lives, Holy Spirit, will you whisper to us about grace? Amazing grace that is greater than all our sin. In our moments of need, Father, we ask that you would provide for us according to your riches in glory. Well, right now we lift up to you, Ben, the son of Franny, whose family is coming alongside him to help bring him to a place where he can thrive in a new and a better way. We pray, Lord, for all of the details. And it's a lot. Lord, that you would be the superintendent over all these things, that you would cause every schedule to move well, that you would take care of those who have doctor appointments between now and that point, and you would allow all things to go well, and Ben would be secured for an abundant life that you have for him in his new life here in our area. And Father, that you would enable us as a congregation to walk with Franny and to walk alongside Ben as he seeks your hand upon his life to recover. And Father, in all ways we pray these things. We pray for this young child, Conrad, just born earlier this week, but yet in the NICU with COVID. We ask, Lord, that you will touch his body and you will bring him to full health. And Lord, with every burden that we brought into this room with us this morning, we pray that you would give us grace to cast our burden upon you because you care for us. And would we find that the burden you share with us, that it is easy and that it is light. And so our experience of our hardship is not exactly commensurate with how it would be without you. But we would find that we have every strength we need by grace to serve you well and to find joy in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, and this is not the new way of things. It's just the way of things today. We'll get to that, but as you are with us at the end of our teaching time, I would ask you to stay put because we're going to pretty much immediately going into an announcement concerning our facility here. And if you're the nervous type, I just assure you, it's good news. Let me let you know, you don't need to be stressed about anything. It's Thanksgiving week, and so our Wednesday night Bible study doesn't take place this week. Next Sunday will be the first week of Advent season, of our Christmas season, and we have a devotional book, and there's plenty for anybody who is left. If you want one for everybody in the family, go ahead and grab one on your way out, and I would encourage you to get together with your family on a daily basis and process through it. Start this Saturday. It technically doesn't start until Sunday, but there's an introduction that will introduce the whole procedure to you. It's 4 pages. Oh my gosh, you're going to have to get the whole family to sit down for 4 pages, but rest assured, every other day is just less than 2. So this is the high watermark, and everything from that is easy peasy. So please pick this up. We'll be doing this together. On your way out, we have offering boxes online. You can go through the web porthole. But then additionally, I just want to let you know with what we got going on here, we don't have the technology to mirror everything here with what's going on the walls. And I am asking our production team, for lack of a better word, our AV team, to do their very best. We don't have a production team, and I haven't trained them on everything, and so there's probably going to be a little bit of delay between what shows up on the TV and what shows up on these monitors. Thank you for your grace. So, today we conclude our Fruit of the Spirit series, the purpose of which has been for us to find a reflexive understanding of the positive markers of godliness, of holiness, of righteousness. Up until this point, if you were like most Christians, if you're not having an affair, that means you're righteous, which is recommended. Don't have an affair. So reading from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, which is the best news of all, the positive markers of godliness. There's no rules against them. You can be as extreme as you want in love and not get in trouble. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control is the ninth and final positive marker of godliness. And what I want to do today is express everything that we've been looking at since September 4th when we started this series in a way that helps anchor our understanding of godliness in what we have been referring to as the positive markers of godliness. Now, to get there, we need to give a little bit of context. And so for context, we go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21. These, of course, are the verses that immediately precede verses 22 and 23. Rocket science here, right? This is Mensa level thinking. Now we're going to look at what is tawdry. Paul writes, the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, he says, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So since September 4th, we've been talking about the positive markers so that we know what they are. These are the negative markers. Easy enough, right? This is the low-hanging fruit. This is where we look, you know, I'm not really committing most of those, so I must be pretty godly. I'm godly-ish. I'm godly adjacent. And so we kind of feel good about ourselves. Too often, what we do is we define godliness by the absence of these negative things, these negative words. Now, I want to say this. It is true that the presence of any one of these things, or more than one of these things, certainly points to, at the very least, a deficiency in our holiness. Can we say that? That the presence of these things aren't really commendations of us being truly godly men and women. Still, at the same time, it is possible, and we have to recognize this, it is possible to be absent these particular works of the flesh and for there be an absence of true godliness in our lives. We can erase all of these things off the chalkboard of descriptors of us and still not be holy. See, look at this void in my life. Doesn't mean we're holy. Which is why we have been looking for a better understanding of the positive markers of godliness. Here's what we've been doing. We've been looking for something positive for us to hang our holiness hats on. That's what we've been trying to do. And to do so, we've been looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It has helped us find hooks for us to hang our holiness hats on. I'll read it one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. See, the growing presence of one of these, or a combination of these things, or better yet, a growing presence of all of these things are positive markers that give positive evidence that the Holy Spirit is growing us in godliness. It is the presence of these things that we can point to. I once was an impatient man. Now, I'm still at times impatient, but it seems to be something that is less a problem of my life, and I am growing in patience. There is manifesting in my life a patience that I didn't used to have. It's an indication that the Holy Spirit is working in us a holiness that is after his kind, that is patient. It gives positive evidence that the Holy Spirit is working godliness into our lives. These are the positive markers of godliness, and as such, loved ones, we should anticipate these things will be present and growing in our lives. These descriptors will be active, will be present, they will be growing, they will be visible in the life of anyone who sincerely follows Jesus. And as I've been looking forward to this particular day, when this series was concluded, I have racked my brain to come up with a simple illustration that I think is simple and is clear to help give us a visual picture of what I'm talking about, how the Holy Spirit works godliness in our lives. And I have been through some stupid ideas. Rather than have a TV up here with some slides with a couple words and some scriptures here and there, at one time I thought, you know what I do? I'm going to get some of my folding chairs. And in my mind, there was a folding chair for every one of these words. And they were going to be arranged in such a way that it looked like chaos unless you were standing in a small place right there. And then it all came into focus, which I thought, oh, this is going to work, but it's going to require everybody get out of their chair, walk to this one little spot and look and go, oh, aha. You know, that's just one of the dead end journeys I've been on trying to come up with an illustration that I think communicates clearly. But as the series moved on and as it developed, I noticed that I was regularly using the language of pathway as we went through this series. When it came specifically to the application of each positive marker, I would suggest something with words like this, sometimes exactly like this. Now let me offer the following insert number of suggestions to help move us along the pathway of godliness, that is love, that is joy, that is peace. This was how each message ended. And after several weeks of hearing myself preach, I heard myself. Well, that's it. Boom, I have an idea. Loved ones, the Christian life is not a life spent meandering around aimlessly, where we randomly bump into a work of the flesh and then randomly bump into a fruit of the Spirit and then get bumped like a pinball machine off of a flipper into some other fruit, only to have our life redirected into a work of the flesh. It's not a meandering around accidentally happening to us. The Christian life is a focused journey. The Christian life is lived along a pathway of sorts, a pathway that leads us further along and higher up into the kingdom of God. The Christian life is a walk. So that Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." In this verse, I want you to notice the movement, walk. I also want you to notice that in this walk, there is an empowerment that we have. Walk what? By the Spirit. And there is a result that happens from us walking by the power that the Spirit gives. We will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That is, we won't find ourselves engaging in the negative disqualifiers from holiness. In the same spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." So again, notice that there is a source of life here. Live what? By the Spirit. There's a companion, and that companion is the source of our strength. You are doing this walk with the Spirit. It's relational. Loved ones, can I say this? Better than the best of thoroughbred horses, the Holy Spirit has a holy gait to how he moves. And as we walk in step with the Spirit, our walking gait increasingly measures the holy gait of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is lived walking in step with the Spirit along a pathway, along a roadway that is not marked with fleshly deeds. They're off the road. But rather, this roadway that the Christian life is lived upon is marked with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, this simple picture. The roadway of holiness, you will notice, is not filled with fleshly deeds that we need to dodge, but rather with holy fruit that we thoughtfully and with purpose give ourselves to. The Christian life, the Christian walk is lived from love to joy to peace to patience to kindness to goodness to faithfulness to gentleness and with self-control. These are the markers of the Christian life. The Christian life is lived in a direction. Ours is a Godward life. It is directed Godward. It is towards Him. It is lived in pursuit of Jesus Christ, and it is lived in step with the Holy Spirit. And as we are moving along with the fruit of the Spirit, the positive mark, we are moving in a Godward direction. We are pursuing Christ, and we are doing so in the power of the Holy Spirit, who is hand in hand walking us along the roadway to Christ, to the kingdom of heaven. And more than anything, I want to say that what godly self-control does is this. It gives us spiritual power that allows us to move from grace to grace. It gives us spiritual power to move from fruit to fruit. And in this way, when the exercising of self-control prevents us from engaging in the fruit, the works of the flesh, which are off the road of holiness. They're out of bounds. They're in the ditch. Self-control empowers us to walk a holy road that is made up of Holy Spirit fruit. Think about what you were taught in driver's ed class. For those of you who predate driver's ed, think about what your parents taught you when they taught you how to drive. You were taught that as you drive, you need to have your eyes on the mirrors and so you can be aware of your what? Your surroundings. Be aware of your surroundings. And you were also taught, though, if you focus on the surroundings, if you focus at an obstacle that is off the road, you're going to do rut. You're going to drift in the direction of the obstacle. And if you do so long enough, you're going to drift off the road. Our fight for holiness, and let's be clear, it is a fight, is a fight for holy focus. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, describes this fight in this way. Paul writes, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive." There's a lot in this world to distract us, right? There is a lot of things that are off the road of holiness that can get our attention, that some of them can be spectacular. Some of them can be all sorts of noisy. Some of them are standing on this road of the road, "Look at me!" And sometimes the sin that is on the peripheral seems to sneak in such a way it feels if it's along the path. But loved ones, we ought to make no mistake. Ungodliness is not on the roadway to Jesus Christ. And so we fight to take every thought captive to obey Christ. And in this fight, what we do, we give our focus and we place it upon God and we place it upon all that He commands. Philippians 4:8 helps us. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Doesn't that feel like a cold drink on a hot day just reading that? If you give your ear to every external, it can feel as there is nothing in this world to think about that is not tawdry, that is not broken, that is not a mess, that is not awful. You watch too much news, you listen to too much talk radio, and you will find yourself under oppression. And Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything, any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, think about, focus on these things. Now, weren't you this past week tempted to focus on other things than these? Weren't you this past week sometimes have people or influences demanding that you focus on something else? Focus on these things. So the question is, are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, are they true? Are they honorable? Are they just? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they commendable? Are they excellent? Are they worthy of praise? Yes, they are. Think about these things, and you will find yourself traveling right in the middle of a holy road. Think about these things. Look for them, not just around you, but look for them in your life. If I were to quiz you, if I were to give you a piece of paper and a pencil, write down five things you don't like about yourself, you'd probably be done before I said things. The same time, if I were to ask, write five things that you like about yourself. Well, now, Pastor Brian, I'm going to need several days for this. One more question. Is Jesus true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise? Think of Jesus. Think about Jesus. Praise Him. Love Him. See, Thomas Chalmers, who was a Puritan pastor, says that what will help us if we want to maneuver out of a life of sin and find a life of ongoing holiness, what we need to do is we need to exchange our affections. It's in a track that is called the expulsive kaboom, the expulsive, like, get out of me, Satan, the expulsive power of a new affection. If you find yourself drawn to things that are outside the boundaries, off the pathway, off the road, there is an affection in our heart, in your heart, for those things. And the only way to overcome those affections are to replace them with a far superior affection and tend to that in affection. And in his sermon, he says, the one thing that is worthy of our affections over and above every other thing is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to get out of sin, have an escape from sin, and move and have a life lived absent sin, tend to your affections on Jesus Christ and don't let them wane. We used to sing this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim In the light of his glory and grace. Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And what is off the roadway will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So this morning, I have one and one suggestion only to help move us forward in the pathway that is self-control. Grow yourself in self-control. Allow the Holy Spirit to grow you in self-control by feeding the best affection, your love for Jesus Christ, your love for the Father, and your love for the Holy Spirit. Your love things of all things godly, particularly your love for God. For in the end, hear me, the Christian life is not a life of sin management. It is not a life spent dodging vice as it comes our way. It is not a life of slaloming left and then right and then left and then right again, swerving around Satan's strategically placed temptations. Loved ones, on the road to the kingdom of heaven, the holy road, the pathway that is laid before him, there are no ungodly obstacles. There's just the fruit of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit present with us so that we can walk with him. The Christian life is spent pursuing and following Jesus Christ in the power that the Holy Spirit gives. And it is a life spent traveling, yes, what Jesus called the straight and the narrow. And I rather suspect that every time you have read that passage, it felt constraining. Am I right? It felt small. Travel the straight and narrow. It's just few who get on there because it's too small for many to get on there. That's not what Jesus was saying. To be clear, so clear. The straight and the narrow road is, well, it's straight and it is narrow. But to be crystal clear, it is not occupied by sin. We don't have to suck our gut in and to move around all these obstacles on the straight and narrow so that we won't get overcome by them and finally somehow whoosh, we made it to heaven. Sin is outside of the way. The works of the flesh, they are off the pathway, they are off the roadway. As we walk along this path, we will not accidentally collide with life-destroying sin. It's not there. No, friends. The way is indeed straight and narrow, but walking in step with the Spirit does not feel constraining. As we walk in step with the Spirit, it doesn't feel narrow. Our experience as we travel along the pathway that is straight and narrow, our experience will be expansive and forever expanding. We will have a spiritual, Holy Spirit-empowered gate running from victory to victory, from grace to grace, consuming, expending, demonstrating love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our experience of it is expansive and it is forever expanding. Along this path, we are forever safe, and along this path, we are forever secure. Along this path, we are free to live along this path. We are free from condemnation because along this path there is nothing to say you're out of bounds. Against these things there is no law. It is when we lie, it is when we envy, it is when we find ourselves consumed with strife that we feel the condemnation that comes against us for not being what we ought to be. But when we love and we forgive, when we are generous, when we are kind, when we are merciful, when we are gentle, we feel the pleasure of God upon our souls. And there is nothing more thrilling, there is nothing more peaceful, there is nothing more expansive than that. Along this path, in this path alone, I want to tell you, there is reason, there is room to thrive. For this path leads straight to Jesus, who once said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Four words. Abundantly. The scripture calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, loved ones. And the fruit of the Spirit, I want to say, is the stuff of transformation. So if we, his people, will live our lives filled with these markers of godliness, we will be exactly what God has set us apart to be. We will be exactly what the world needs for us to be. Lights who shine forth Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus said this, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." If this is true, don't you think it's right for us to live on mission believing that Jesus' love for the world is so much that he has decided to send his holy bride, you and me, empowered by the Holy Spirit, growing in the fruits of the Spirit with a message of hope that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And Jesus has sent us in the same way that the Father has sent him. And as we see him moving throughout Israel in his lifetime, we see him marked better than anybody ever with the fruit of the Spirit. There, we can say, pointing to Jesus, is love. There is joy. There is peace. There is patience. There. The world, our world, the world that you and I live in, has a pressing need for us. Has a pressing need for the church to walk in holy fruitfulness. Our sexually confused world needs for the church to walk in holy love. For God, for our families, for one another, for our good neighbors, and for our bad neighbors. As prophetic witnesses that the way God has created humans and constituted the family is the path of true shalom and enduring blessing. The 13.2% of people living around us who have taken depression medications in just the past 30 days need for the church to walk in holy joy, demonstrating the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Right now, anxiety rates among our neighbors is so high that 60% of psychologists in the United States have zero time in their schedule to meet with a new counselee in order to help. Our world needs for the church to walk in holy peace while pointing out to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Our world, presently lost in its sin, needs for the church to walk in holy kindness, believing that God's kindness will lead to its repentance. Our world, which obsessively magnifies everything bad, needs for the church to walk in holy goodness, to without shame proclaim that only God is good and that all things good come from his heart of love, the Father of lights with whom there is no shadow of turning. Our world, which has become bored of hearing about the failures of politicians and businessmen, people of fame, and religious leaders, needs for the church to walk in holy faithfulness as evidence of the fact that God is faithful to complete the good work that he began in those he has redeemed. Our world, which is presently marked by political and social hostility, needs for the church to walk in holy gentleness and to refer people not to a politician, not to a party, not to a system, but to Jesus, the one who invites all who are weary and heavy laden to come to him so that they might find rest, for he is gentle. Our world needs for the church, needs for you, and needs for me to walk along the pathway of godliness in holy self-control, regularly growing in each of these positive markers of godliness that the Holy Spirit is producing in our lives. Anyone want to mature and grow in these positive markers of holiness? Would you stand as I close in prayer? Lord, it is possible for us to be intimidated by the lack that is in our life when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. It is easy for our focus to be taken off of these things and just in our own lives to fixate on our deficiencies, to fixate on our weaknesses, to fixate where there is still evidence that we are men and women who at least at times traffic in the works of the flesh. Lord, I pray that you would lift our eyes off of our weakness, off of our sin, and you would lift our heads so that we might behold you in all of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you would remind us that where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. And that as you have placed your hand upon our life, there is much to commend us to your Father. Because rather than see us clothed in our weakness, you have worked grace in our lives so that we are seen clothed in your righteousness. Lord, would you help us to train our mind for the spiritual battle that lies before us? It's not just our own life. It is in this world true that the easiest thing for us to fixate on are the tawdry things, or the broken things, are the wicked things that just blow our mind. But Lord, would you cause us to stand in awe at your work? Stand in awe at your beauty. Stand at awe in your work of beauty in our lives. As you come alongside us in our sin and your forgiveness, you would say to us, where are those who are left to condemn you? For you have incapacitated their accusation. And you name us son, you name us child, you name us friend. For we want to be more like you. Holy Spirit, we want for you to empower us to move along the pathway of holiness, the roadway of godliness, that you would enable us by self-control given to the Holy Spirit to live lives that are Godward, that are in pursuit of Jesus Christ and his character, that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is our desire. The work that you have begun, we ask, Lord, that you would ramp it up and you would bring it to completion. And you would advance us along the straight and narrow this week. And even as we are advanced along the straight and narrow, we would find more freedom than we have ever experienced. our experience of the straight and narrow way would not be one that feels constrained and minimal, but it'd be wide open and abundant. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to go straight to this announcement. All right, so at this point, we simply need to, from time to time, we don't do this enough, give God praise, give God glory for things that He has done, is doing, has been doing. And I want to say that as we have come to the yearly members meeting in January, each of the last number of years, there have been all sorts of reason for us to be thrilled. But I'm going to put it all together. We're going to rehearse God's amazing kindness beginning back in January 1st, 2019. On January 1st, 2019, our bank account was at $81,725, which I got to tell you, for Calvary, is not bad in our history. This being the case, here's what has happened, God has enabled for us to participate in and do since that January 1st, 2019. Since that time, we have had installed this lighting system from scratch. We can control it from up there. As weird as it sounds, there was no stage lighting in our church. That's just weird. When COVID happened and we couldn't meet church, I had to change light bulbs in there that were closest to the stage in order for the streaming for me to be seen, not like I'm in a dungeon. So this from scratch. At the same time, we were able to completely switch out our sound system, and I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but I did. But I will tell you, since I came here April 1st, 2014, I have been annoyed by a constant buzz and feedback in our old speakers, and it feels like nobody bothered, but man, it drove me crazy every single Sunday. I said, it'd be great. Let's. And so we did a complete redo of the sound system. And when they turned it on, whoa. And whether you know this or not, lighting systems and sound systems are not cheap. They are black holes for money. At the same time, we have since that time installed the video monitor systems within our sanctuary. So you have these, which I think are great. And then it's not bad for us to be able to see, except for the one particular slide that has some bad color contrast. So we have been able to install these. I believe it was 2019. It could have been 2009. Did we start with the landscape in 2019 or 2020? 2019, we began to engage with a landscape service that allows us to have our landscaping and the weeds tended to in a better way than I was tending to it. I have a system for weeds called Roundup. I may have a lawsuit one day, I don't know. Just kill it, and you know, there's collateral damage when you're killing weeds with, that's why we don't have some plants out here. But the landscaping services, and they do a great job at the beginning of each year, and they do a good closeout. In 2019, the fellowship hall was painted. Now, that didn't cost us any money, but it was people involved, primarily Midge. Don and then James Rechancho came regularly and helped out during that process. We did it with leftover garage paint. By we, I mean not me. Our facility last year was painted in this room, in the hallways, in the foyer, and in the hallway going back into. It was the first time that this facility had been painted since it was erected in 1987. So, you know, this was just chalk. And so it was sopping up paint. And this was no money out of our pocket. The good people at Lowe's and Ron kind of was the... He was the He was the ambassador, but he was like a burr. He came to me and said, what do you want done? I don't know. I would like to, you know, if they will paint, if you guys will paint the building, I'd be really happy about that. And, oh, Pastor Brian, we need to ask for more than that. So, well, hey, we'll take 3 brand new air conditioners. Now, we didn't get those. But I gave him this giant list of things, and they kind of talked him down. All right, we'll do the painting. Free. We have foyer improvements that are in progress, and right now there's a delay because a piece of furniture is being crafted. Not unique, but the piece we were going to get for in there was sold out, and so it's in production. And after we get it, we can do the remainder of that particular project. But all that said, these facility improvements cost us $61,000+ out of our pocket. And I will remind you that on January 1st, we had $81,000 in the bank. This is an unusual gift that God has brought into Calvary over the years. Your faithfulness and the faithful giving of this people have allowed these things to happen without us asking for any additional income. We didn't do the thermometer thing. We didn't ask you to make a monthly pledge. God just brought resources in. But wait, there's more. There's the matter of our $178,151 of mortgage debt. This debt was secured at TD Bank with a loan rate of 3.75, which is pretty good. And our current monthly payment is established at $1,787. The thing about our note is that it re-ups every 5 years, and at the re-up time, the interest rate is on the table. So, as you know, things are different than they were 5 years ago. And our interest rate changed on November 1st from 3.75 to 6.10, which is ridiculous. We preferred at 3.75. But the bank wasn't, you know, that wasn't an option. So, as it turns out, we aren't going to be feeling the impact of the interest rate. Why is that? Glad you asked. Because at 12:13 p.m. September 30th, a full 10 years early, we were able to pay in full the remaining $178,151. So by review, January 1st and November 20th, this day, facility improvements in the amount of $61,000+, mortgage expense of $178,150, a total of $239,151. We started off with $81,000, $125. And as of November 1st, we still had $37,000 left in the bank. To God be the glory, great things he has done. All of this is God's kind generosity to this congregation of people, and it makes you think that God is more than likely up to something here. Because if he wasn't, he would invest it someplace else. All thanks to God and to his great faithfulness and to that of his people, you. I want to thank you. And I want you to stand with me and give thanks to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we know that in the scripture we read a passage and it wasn't exactly about this kind of thing, but you are so amazing that it is true. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we ask, Lord, that when we went through the COVID time that you would keep us okay. We ask that you would bring us outside of that barren time with old sandals that weren't worn out, but look at you, you gave us all new shoes. You indeed have done greater than we were able to imagine or even ask. We ask for your faithfulness and you shower us with generosity. Lord, we want to praise you and we want to ask that you would help us to be faithful to your call to represent you well in our community. Amen. Have one more seat. I feel like embarrassing somebody, but they're new. Can I embarrass you guys? Just a little bit? Just a little bit? No, you guys. The Coughlins. I just want you to know. Years before you showed up, we were praying for you. It is a thing that a difficulty that we've experienced that in our 30 plus years here, there's never been anybody off of Shipley Road close who called this place home. And we began to pray as a board, would you send us people closer to where we are because you planted us here. Not really embarrassing, I'm bragging on God. But if you've ever wondered, God, have I ever been an answer to prayer? Yes, you have. Brendan, we were talking early on, he used to play on this property when he was a kid before it was church. This is his old playground. Am I right? Yeah. How much closer does it get than that? And so we have this going on. We have God answering particular prayers. And what hasn't been mentioned is that throughout the last years, our ability to come alongside people who are in desperate situations has been spectacularly leveled up. We've been able to be generous with benevolent funds towards those who have experienced some life-threatening, not physical, but livelihood-threatening experiences. Our missionary giving has continued to be stable, and it has elevated to the point where we're able to give double during Christmas what we give every monthly basis as a bonus to all of our missionaries, all that we support. This is now our third year or fourth year of doing that. And yeah. There, in the midst of it all, well, pastors at this point will say the best is yet to come. Let's pray and ask God that that would be true and not just some cliche thing that a pastor will say. Amen. Amen. Amen? All right, would you stand up? And would you love one another? What's that? Well, there wasn't a closing song, but we can pull.
It's funny because the song that he, there was an additional song that I had, I think he nixed it because of this, but I thought he had it for the end because he told me, you know, four up front. But I cannot believe that I'm standing over there basically in tears over a business meeting. I've been in church a very long time, since my mother's womb, and I have honestly say that I've never been